Time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
If God wanted multicolored sunsets, he'd have made them purple and green. But he didn't. They're burnt orange.
SI's Ross Gellinger.
The response from coaches would be, as one official put it to me, is we think that they would go into super turbo mode.
And SI's Pat Forty.
Tricks of the trade here, headline writers. You have to have a modifier before the animal to get people's attention. We didn't just have hornets, we had murder hornets. We didn't just have rats, we had battle rats. And now we've got super pigs.
Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
All right, welcome to the pod. And maybe we should rearrange how we do this. Should we do small sample Heisman first? Does it change in the fourth quarter? Do we do People's Court in the middle? Everything's changing in college football. Maybe we need to be right along with them.
Sure. Blow everything up.
No. The clock. Clock changes. I think this was like chapter 11 of Death of the BCS. They basically just took my manifesto and have now finally gotten around to it.
That's what they told me when I was writing the story. Put that in there. Dan Wetzel changes.
Yeah, they all, I'm sure. They all read it when they were young. Young administrators. I'm taking the credit. Come on. How many more things you got to follow my lead on here? No, I don't know. So obviously there's a safety component here. They're saying, look, we're adding these playoff games. We want to shorten the games. It's not how many games you play is one argument. It is how many reps you have, how many times you get hit, how many times you cut, how many times you line up against somebody. It's like a pitch count, right? Doesn't matter how many times a guy starts, it's how many pitches he throws, whether he ends up with Tommy John surgery. That was always the theory. College football games have way more plays than NFL games because of the clock rules. So there's a safety component. I would posit that as these billion-dollar TV deals come through, there is probably a motivation here to make sure that the TV partners are happy that their windows are met. So if you start a game at noon, it is over by 3:30 when the next game starts.
Are you saying TV influences or impacts college football legislation and rules and decisions? Get out of here, Dan.
Texas A&M would never give NIL money to anybody.
No.
We know these truths to be self-evident.
Yeah. The fact that they would cloak a TV-friendly idea in player safety clothing, I'm completely aghast that they would do such a thing.
Yeah. However, here we are. Whatever the motivation, this is it. I do think player safety is part of it. I remember spending a lot of time contemplating this and talking to people. What really should have happened in football, and I'm not proposing this, but what should have happened is college football probably should have had like 12-minute quarters. Like, they're shorter games than the pros.
Yeah.
The way high school basketball is like 8 minutes and then quarters, and then college basketball is 20-minute halves, and then the NBA goes, right? That's probably what should have happened like 140 years ago. But obviously, we're not changing that. And I don't really want that changed. But the fact that college football players were taking more snaps than the NFL, in addition to all of the contact at practices, both in the offseason and during the week, because they do not have a union. I mean, there's very little hitting in the NFL. I think it's one day a week you can have pads on. I think they only have pads one day a week. Training camp is shorter. They took away a preseason game. It could take them all away. You can't have two-a-days. You certainly can't have two-a-day. The old days of just Oklahoma drills all day long are over. And they are for the most part in college football. But anyway, this is where we're at. So they're trying to cut the number of plays down, at least to the NFL level, which makes sense, particularly if we're going to ask teams to play longer. This is a monster net positive, though, for the health of the players, because the timing rules, which we'll get to, that Ross broke this story, will apply to all 130, what do we have, 132 teams? I think 132, where extra playoff games will probably only impact a few teams.
Right. Yes.
We already have 15 game seasons. I think you can get to 17 potentially, you know, so only a couple teams will play longer, really longer seasons. So all of that said, there are four proposals. Ross, you broke it. Do you want to break these down for us?
Yeah. Yeah, I can do that. All right. Yeah, there are four right now kind of under consideration.
Let's stop two after of, each one.
Yeah, okay.
And
okay,
figure we out what they are.
And discuss.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
The first one is probably the least controversial, and that is no longer extending a first or third quarter for an untimed down after a defensive penalty. So instead, the down would be played the next quarter, and it would obviously be timed. That's, again, that's the least controversial, probably the least impact one.
Okay, so this is a thing I didn't even realize they did. I'm in a college football. I've covered many games. I had no idea. So if there's defensive holding on the last play of the third quarter, they would then replay the down, or any play that you would have to replay the down, it would just be an untimed at the end of the third quarter. I didn't even realize. Yeah.
It's an accepted defensive penalty.
How often did that happen?
Yeah, not very often at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just didn't even dawn on me.
So, it could have happened twice a week, twice a Saturday, maybe, of all the of 80, 90 games. Maybe it happens once or twice on a weekend.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. And right. It's at the end of the first and third. They would still obviously play the extra down at the end of the half.
Yeah.
Because
Yes, correct.
And now it's at the end of the game.
Yes, yeah. Correct.
So this will have no impact. I mean, whatever.
Right.
Two net plays a weekend.
Moving the rake from one side of your garage to the other so you can park a little easier. That's fine.
I was like, whoa, we did that? I didn't know that. Okay. There's always going to be the people, don't change the thing. I didn't even know we changed it. So, okay.
The next one is, again, pretty much considered not also non-controversial, does happen more than the first one, and that is coaches calling back-to-back timeouts, you know, consecutively before a snap, or as they say, in a single dead ball period. Usually this happens with icing the kickers. So the NFL has this rule. College would just be adopting the NFL rule, which would be no back-to-back timeouts allowed.
Yep. Common sense. Do it.
Yeah, shuts it down a little bit. Also, kind of a jerk move. I mean,
well, in icing the kicker, it's proven that it really doesn't work. I was speaking to some of the coaches and working on the story. I didn't really write about it, but they were talking about a study done. I don't remember if it was a study in college or the NFL about icing a kicker and from like 30 to 40 yard kicks when you do the icing of the kicker. The percentage actually goes up on those kicks iced from at least that yardage. So that was interesting. Mm. So it's kind of a theory that I think people are starting to realize doesn't really work.
I will say it's a testament to the obsessive nature of football that it got to a point of, all right, we're going to call the timeout to ice the kicker, but then, we're going to get the snap off and get a practice kick in.
Yeah.
And so then you had to move up the timeout a little bit sooner so they couldn't get the snap off for the practice kick. It's like, you know, let's just not ice the kicker.
The practice kick is the key. If you get that, I mean, that's like, right? It's like your breakfast ball in golf. Like you want the mulligan. Absolutely. You take your second shot almost every time, you know? So, that was it. And then they would do the fake one. So then the guy's thinking they're going to call a timeout, the fake ice. Like the cubic zirconia of timeouts. That was kind of fun. No, I'll live without this. I'm okay. Whatever. Not a big deal, right? What is this? A few timeouts.
Yeah. Well, not a ton of impact. I mean, you're talking about maybe over the course of a season for a single team, it having like a couple plays of impact, maybe. So something like that. So
can they also take, while they're at it, can they take one timeout per college basketball coach a half?
Oh,
we got too many of those. Okay, well, that, you don't need to stop the clock five times in a 20-minute half to talk to your players. They don't like you.
That's a whole other issue there, man. Boy, we save that one for March. We're going to have to see. We're going to watch it.
I was about to say, you're opening up a can for 40 here.
I was trying to watch Indiana-Illinois the other day, I think it was, and it was like, I was running out to, like, I had to go be somewhere, and I'm like, oh, I'll just try to watch into this game. Like, no. And don't get me started on the NBA either, but.
Yeah, no. Ending a basketball game has become incredibly difficult.
Yeah, we need Elon ending. All right, anyway, that's for March. March discussion. Yeah. Okay, next. I'm in favor so far. Two for two votes for me.
Number three, and these three and four are a little more impactful and somewhat controversial, although number three is gaining pretty good support. And that is that the clock will continue to run after an offense gains a first down, except inside of 2 minutes in a half. So, again, that's adopting an NFL rule. Right now, the NFL, you know, continues to run the clock after a first down, except the inside of two. They might even run the clock inside of 2 minutes, actually. But college football will not. So their version is inside of 2 minutes of a half, they will stop the clock after a first down. But otherwise, they will keep it running.
NFL does not stop after first down ever.
Right.
Okay. So, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And I say hallelujah to this one. I mean, I think that's been one of the biggest roadblocks to getting college games anywhere near as fast as NFL games. Is just too many stoppages. You know, there's teams get 20 to 30 first downs a game, and you stop the clock every time. I mean, it's just it adds unnecessary drag in there, and the game functions perfectly fine with the moving clock after timeouts. There's no reason to have that built in. So I'm fine with that, but I'm also fine with keeping it in the last 2 minutes to kind of keep the, I was going to say sanctity, but that is way too serious a word for this, but the integrity, I guess, of a 2 minute drill in college to, you know, having some built in stoppages. I like this rule a lot.
How many plays are we thinking this is going to change?
So they did a study this past season. They actually had an official. I don't think he was at every game. I don't think an official was at every game. I'm not sure how many exactly. But they did a study, and they were kind of assuming that this clock would keep on running. So they had their own. The official in the press box had its own clock or stopwatch. And they did this whole season-long study. And it basically, the results were that it would save right around 7 to 8 plays per game if you kept the clock running after a first down.
It's about, what's the average number of plays? It's about 190, 180 in a college football game?
185, I believe. 180 to 185, somewhere around there.
Nailed it. I did not know. That's not 180 because they stop it at the third quarter, and I didn't know. That was how I got my math wrong. Good job by me. So this is take 4 or 5% of the game away.
Yeah, it's going to take. So. Yeah, I mean they say 7 to 9 plays out of each game, roughly, you know, 5-ish minutes of game time. Maybe they're thinking.
Okay, I have no problem with this. I mean, I don't have a problem with the length of the game because selfishly we spend all year talking about college football. I'm not sitting around going, "Oh boy, I hope we get done with this sooner." But I don't think this is a big deal. It is annoying when you're at games and the clock stops in the second quarter and it's, I don't know, you know, whatever. You're first and 10 at the 31-yard line. And you want to keep the last part. You want to keep you got to create a game where comebacks are possible, even if you have to rig up the rules a little bit and have different rules at different times. Like the college basketball does not do this. The NBA does. If you call timeout, you can advance the ball to half court at the end of the game.
I hate that.
It goes totally against the sensibilities of the game, right? Why do you get to, what? Why? Mm-hmm. But the NBA goes, so Steph Curry can catch it with 0.1 left and hit this shot, and it's exciting.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I don't feel this is near that level. So I think, you know, it's a little different in the last 2 minutes. So I guess there's some integrity or sanctity as you. You cannot use words too serious, Pat. This is football.
Okay? I agree.
Sanctity is a
real thing.
Don't apologize. Don't apologize for taking it too seriously. So that's a little quirky, but I don't think it's going to be a big thing. Look, the fewer plays, the better for the underdog also. Like, it's better for underdog teams to have short games. The longer you play, it's like playing blackjack. Eventually, the house is going to win.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, you don't want 8-9 more plays against that. You don't want Alabama to have 8-9 more plays.
Right.
You want to, if you're going to beat Alabama, you're probably doing it because you're lucky. Or, you know, you've risen up. So, I'd vote yes on this. Why not? Right.
Yeah, no, I think it's a needed and a very good move. I like it.
Maybe go interim for 2 years and study it.
Mm-hmm.
They love stuff like that. And then there's like a sunset clause and then a revote. You got to re.
So that the committee can meet in West Palm again in 2 years.
Neither meeting. That's going well. Now let's bring back that dead ball third down, third quarter. Game's really missing something. All right. Another plate of shrimp cocktail, please. All right. So that one's fine. Go ahead. I don't think people are even going to notice.
Number four, the last one, in certainly the most significant, impactful, incontroversial, would be the clock. Under this proposal, the clock would continue to run after an incomplete pass once the ball is spotted for play. So this obviously would be, you know, pretty significant. So the clock would stop, but then would run pretty much immediately once the ball is spotted, which, as we know, officials have gotten pretty quick with that. So it'd only be a few seconds in the clock would be spotted again. And this, again, most significant. I've heard from some officials on this one that I/we would all be surprised at how much support this does have with administrator types. It does not have support from coaches at all.
Sure. Which changes your offense.
Right. It changes your entire mechanics and your intuition of how you move from play to play, you know? So that, you'd have to relearn basically some things, which I wouldn't be opposed to relearning. I would like to see, you know, a beta test on this. It would be nice if you could do it in like people that have real spring games, which aren't very many people anymore. Do it in spring games and see how it works, see what it looks like, see what it feels like. I was interested just when Ross tweeted the story and I said, good, do it. There was a lot of response. People, of course, care about everything about football, but they care about this part of the rule structure really had people mad. Like they don't, that's going too far. It's like, it's not like we're eliminating football here. We're talking about running the clock after an incomplete pass.
No, after a first down. Were people overreacting on social media, Pat? I just,
shocking. I know.
People were disagreeing.
Yeah, oh man. My notifications are still, they're lighting up. And most of it is, and we can talk about this more in depth later. Most of it is these rules changes suck. Don't do any of them. Just eliminate or cut down on the TV commercials. That's the consensus.
Yeah. Well, you watch, that's a nice sentiment on, and all, but.
No, they're angry. Yeah. You go on YouTube and it's like kitten helps puppy escape burning building. And you look and there's like, you know, three thumbs downs. There's like 1,000 thumbs up, and you're like, what?
Believe it or not, yes.
I'm offended by this. I wanted both the kitten and the puppy to burn. Like, what is wrong with you?
People can find anything to be angry about. Ain't no doubt about it.
You cannot get consensus on anything in this world. No. Like, no, I'm negative. This was not a good video. Everyone else is crying and loving it. And hero kitten. Anyway, okay, here's my thing. What amount of time does this actually save? How about we make the chain gang have to go get like a Peloton membership or something. Like, I get a little quicker down the line. I don't know. Like, you know, like the pit crews. Could we get the NASCAR pit crews, get to that level of speed where they're just popping over, you know, let's go, chain gang. I don't think this is a total change in the way the sport is played. This one is more dramatic. Mm-hmm. It will change your offense dramatically. It's very hard in the NFL to move the ball at the end of the half, and they do it. But the reason they do it is because it's Patrick Mahomes, it's Tom Brady, or it was. It's that level of skill to move when you do not have access to the middle of the field like mm-hmm. you do in college. And so that's and when we watch all the time, it's a disaster, right? Like the Dallas Cowboys can't run the 2 minute in playoffs and everyone goes crazy.
Right.
If they can't, this is really difficult. So my thing is, how much extra time and how many more snaps are there because the chain gang runs down and it takes five, like, what is that? Like, do we have a study on this?
Not really. If they did, they didn't share it with me, but I will say, just talking to some people who estimated, I guess, or maybe it was part of the study and they didn't clarify, but they're thinking that 15 to 18 plays will be saved from. Yeah, that's what they're thinking. That 15, 18. But now here's the thing. There's going to be a response from coaches. And I wrote a little bit about this in the story, is that the response from coaches would be, as one official put it to me, is, we think that they would go into super turbo mode and it would basically negate all the elimination of plays, would be negated, and the risk of injury would then be heightened because you're going super fast to get back to the line of scrimmage as soon as that ball is put down for the snap. That way you're there. So it would. So if they do that, if that's the response from coaches, then there's no way to eliminate 15 plays. I mean, maybe it eliminates five or something. You know, this one, although it does have, again, it was described to me as more support than I would maybe first imagine. This one's going to be hard to get through, I think, all the committees and such, and the coaches are pushing against it so much that I'd be a little surprised if this one makes it through.
Why does it matter outside the last 2 minutes or 5 minutes of a half? I don't believe this super turbo. This sounds like a kid saying, I'm going to run away.
Yes, this is like, we need guardrails for the clock. I mean, you know, this is a little bit of an overreaction. If you do this, then we're going to have to do that. And then it's just going to be terrible. You know,
wild, wild west out here.
Yeah.
Right. Why are they not super turbo now? Like, I don't even get the concept.
Super turbo works a lot.
It does. How fast can you run? It's the middle of the second. I get it at the end of the game. That's the only part I would maybe do the 2 minute thing, because it opens up the field. You can throw the ball down the middle. You can run the ball. You can do different things and not have to worry about the getting out of bounds. Stop the clock, get up there, clock it or something like that. Right. But in the middle of the second quarter, or the first quarter, what is the, you throw, it's third and six, you throw a 7 yard pass, first down, the clock keeps running. How is this? Like, if you're not already playing tempo, why would you now play tempo?
I mean, I guess the answer would be because, well, I mean, if the clock keeps running, I guess you want to get more plays as you can. I mean, some of these offensive minded coaches, right, want to pile up as many plays and pretty snaps as they can. I mean, I guess that's the thought.
Yeah, if your offense is built on tempo and scoring and that sort of thing, I guess you want more plays and you want more snaps and more yards and more points and all that business. But I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things where it's the same for everybody, both sides of the ball. And I would like to just see it. I'd like to see it in a spring, like testing ground or whatever, you know. Like, that was one thing in basketball. Sometimes when they would change the rules in college hoops, you'd have like the preseason NIT would play with the rule change, and then you'd go back to the regular rule.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then so then they decide in the offseason, did we like that or not? I would like to have some way to test this out. Too bad we don't have a spring FCS season anymore like we did with the pandemic. They could be the test.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to say this is not a big deal. I'm not hearing the argument. I'm willing to hear it, but I'm 100% last. I would even maybe extend it to 5 minutes last 5 minutes of the game, certainly last two. But I just don't. If you're already running, if your goal is to run as many plays as possible, I mean, I guess you're already kind of running tempo. I guess the clock stops, but part of tempo is that no one can sub.
And right.
I don't know.
No, we'll
I don't
say
think this is that big of a deal. I mean,
a lot of these under consideration, you know, the NFL, like we discussed, the NFL already does. This one, it does not, of course. This one, the NFL does not do.
I don't think there's any level of football where they run clock after an incomplete pass.
No.
So probably it would certainly inhibit spiking the ball.
This is after every incomplete pass, right? I thought it was about the
not just the end of the game or the half.
I thought it was a first down.
No, they're two separate. Right. After first down.
Yeah, they're two separate things.
Right. The clock continues to run. Is it the third proposal? And the fourth proposal is that's a great question. I don't know. I mean that's an incomplete pass, isn't it? So I will say, when you clock the ball, the official's right there and would, I don't know. That's a good question, actually.
Now, if you're going to clock, well, actually clocking the ball wouldn't do any good at all. You're just literally wasting it down, because the only reason
the spirit or whatever the legislation, if it does say incomplete pass, I mean, you wouldn't be able to clock the ball.
I got all confused there. I would totally. You got to be. Well, I guess you're not clocking until the end of the quarter.
The game, the halves, right?
Half or game.
You got to be able to clock the ball, or else like that would be terrible, because you got to be able to get your field goal unit out. You want to be able to have a guy catch the ball with 1 second in field goal range and run your guys out there. I mean, otherwise you would have the game would essentially end with like 16. It takes about.
Well, you know what? As I'm reading through my notes really quickly. So it is, you know, it's the clock does stop, but it after an incomplete pass, but then it would, once the ball is spotted, it would start again, you know? Yeah. So if you clock the ball.
This is faster than the NFL. The NFL stops when you clock it.
Right.
Right.
Well, this is any incomplete pass, right?
Yeah, any incomplete pass.
We're going to confuse our listeners.
I'm confused now.
Well, so. Yeah, there's two. Proposal three is after a first down is gained.
Okay,
The clock continues to run, except the final 2 minutes of each half.
All right. Then I'm fine with that one.
Proposal four is after any incomplete pass, the clock actually does stop, but it will start as soon as the ball is spotted. So conceivably, in a way, you know, it doesn't stop for very long. You know, so if you clock it, I guess it will stop for a couple seconds and give you a little time. That was not clear to me that would be
it until they spot it, because otherwise you throw a ball 50 yards downfield.
Yeah, right? It will continue to run until it will run once it's spotted.
Stop the clock in the last 2 minutes with the incomplete.
See, that wasn't made clear to me that was in that proposal. It was in the first down proposal. I don't know that it was
has
in that
to
proposal.
It has to be. Yeah. If you can't clock to get your field goal kicker out there, then this is stupid. Because it takes like 16 seconds at best to run a play. If you got to run guys up, set, and go. I don't know, maybe some of these up. If you're trying to run a field goal unit on you, at least 16 seconds.
TCU got their boomerang kick or whatever off, or bazooka kick, whatever they called it, in like 13 or something, but their goal was to have 16 seconds for it, if I remember correctly.
I think like 16 is kind of your number that coaches talk. I don't know. All right. Anyway,
this is why you gotta have
these meetings at a beach resort, because it clears your mind and I'm sitting here in work mode. I can't figure this thing out. I'm in favor of all of them.
You need a Mai Tai, don't you?
I'm like kind of agnostic on it. I don't think the length of the game was that big of a deal.
I mean, whatever. That I would like to debate.
It could be faster. And ADs do notice that, like, the end of games, like, the kids are out of there. The student sections drain. It is long. Yeah. I don't know.
And it's getting longer, too. You know, I had this in the story, but it's 3 hours and 21 minutes this past season, which was 5 minutes longer than it was in 2019. But I'll give the last 5 years. Last year was 3 hours and 21. Year before that, it was 3 hours, 18. Year before that, COVID year, 2020, it was 3 hours, 21, same as it was this past season. And then 18 and 19, it was 3 hours, 16 minutes. One interesting stat that was given to me is that about 1/5 of every FBS game this past year went longer than 3.5 hours, which is really where they don't want to be. And one out of every 5 games did that. And in the past, even 2 years ago, I think, because that obviously fluctuates a lot. 2 years ago, one of every 3 games went past 3.5 hours. So it kind of goes up and down. And they're really trying to keep most games shorter than 3.5 hours, you know, which I think most of us would be like, yeah, you know, after 3.5 hours, it gets a little long.
That fascinates me. And this response came from a lot of people. It's like, we don't care how long the games are. We want all the football. But from a viewing public standpoint, I mean, sitting still, well, especially for being 3.5 at the game, yeah, 4 hours, yeah, is hard to do. It's, I mean, you are asking for tedium to set in and discomfort and impatience. So I was surprised
buzz to wear off,
right?
Yeah. Like that's
yeah. Fun. You know,
they know we all cover games and the crowds can start. I mean, people start just leaving. Mm-hmm. They got little kids. They got older, whatever it is. They got other things to do. Yeah. I mean, I get it. I guess personally, I'm like, yeah, those do stuff. They also, you know, here's a proposal. How about we have a few less TV ads? Yep.
Yeah, right. That one ain't flying.
We're adding more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, during COVID, remember they extended the time of a commercial.
Yeah, right. Why do you have touchdown, commercial, kickoff, commercial? Because that's what
the time during COVID was. That like a safety precaution? So. More time on the commercial to spread out.
I believe they did.
They slipped that in there, huh?
I don't remember having details of that, but they did extend the time, and I don't know that it's been cut back to normal. You know, that has been the overwhelming response from people is the cutting down on TV timeouts. But I was surprised to learn that, and this was sent to me by someone on the rules committee, and it was another chart, I guess, about, you know, time and all that stuff, was that a FBS televised game versus an FBS non-televised game, there's only 2 minutes of difference, which is hard to believe. It's really hard to believe. And I think a lot of it has to do with, that's just FBS. I'd love to see, like, a Power 5 game.
Yeah, FBS game is not televised?
Well, that's true, too.
UMass
right?
versus
almost
UConn.
All of them, right? Almost all of them are. Yeah. And you go to the D2, D3 level, right? And, you know, almost none of the games are televised. And their games are like 2.5 hours or 2:20 even, you know? Yeah.
I mean, high school games are quick.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, look, that they have the same timeout kind of rules for games, like, you know, like in college basketball, even if your game's not on TV, you still have this, the media timeouts at 16, 12, 8, 4.
Right.
Stop calling it the media timeout, too. Yeah. It's the TV
We don't want the timeout.
This podcast is not to be faulted with the media timeout. We didn't get anything out of it. Let's call it what it is.
Yeah. The other stoppage issue in what, you know, takes the game long is replay, which continues to go up, right? So this past season, the average game stopped roughly 2.5 replays per game this past year, which was up from last year and the year before that and the year before that. It's a figure that apparently continues to rise. And it does have administrators considering a coach's challenge system like the NFL. I don't know that it's something that has the support to be enacted this year, but it's definitely something being fairly widely discussed. What I was able to learn is that despite the actual figures 2.3 from this past year, so there's 2.3 replay stoppages per game, FBS game this past year. Some had 5 stoppages, some had 0. So right in the middle of about is 2.3. No matter what that figure is over the last 5 years, 10 years or whatever, like I said, it keeps on rising. There's really only been one overturn play on average per game. So only one play is overturned per game, no matter how that figure has risen. So the stoppages have increased, but the number of overturned calls remains basically one.
I also think you could have a clock on this. Like if it's definitive, like 90 then you should be definitive in 30 seconds or something. Yeah, like 90. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for 8 minutes, yeah, that's not definitive.
You know, yeah, you can have it where the
electric chair here. Like, come on, close enough.
The replay monitor just goes dark after 90 seconds. You know,
yeah, it's like whatever. A clock. Just, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think Jeopardy. The coach's challenge is, you know, might be the way coaches they eventually go. Way to go. You know,
it is
one more way too. We can yell at coaches. That's always
and you coaches and coaches. You know, burn a timeout. You know, if they lose the challenge, right. Obviously they lose a timeout. Maybe they get 2 challenges. What is the NFL? Is it 2 a game? And you lose a timeout or something, and you get a third. You maybe if you get both of them.
No, you only get 2.
You just get
and
then 2.
All one for scoring plays total. And all plays at the end of the game.
Inside 2 minutes are reviewed. Yeah, right. Yes. That
every
and that would be the college
scoring plays.
The challenge system college is looking at, I think, toying with a little bit. Like I said, I don't think anything's imminent, but it's the same as the NFL. All scoring plays, all plays with inside of 2 minutes, and then you have the coach's challenge as well. So it would be identical to the NFL rules.
I like it. I would do that as well. Anything to cut down on the number of stoppages for replay. I think the key point there that your stats brought out, Ross, is they're still getting the same number of calls right, but they're reviewing more of them for 2 reasons, I think. One, because replay's a crutch and you're used to it. You have it at your disposal. So, you know, it's like when we used to be able to know phone numbers off the top of our head, but then we got them put in our phone and now we don't know any. Or directions someplace. Right. It's like, oh, well, I better fall back on the directions, even though I'm pretty sure I know. It's the same thing with a replay. I'm pretty sure I know what I saw, but we have the replay, so let's go look at it. And then, what was my second point there?
Let's go to replay review and find out.
Let's get it.
My second point was lost in the mist of time. But... no, I just think it's become way too much of a crutch. And again, it just drags.
And the key plays, are going to get, and that's the thing. You're wasting 2 minutes to find out of the 2nd and 5 instead of 2nd and 8 in the middle of first quarter. Right.
Right. In the first quarter.
Knee down. He stumbled. Right. It's like, whatever, man, let's play some football. Yeah. I'm fine with getting rid of that. All scoring plays last 2 minutes. And then a coach's challenge kind of adds a little dynamic to the game too. Throw the little red marker out there.
Also,
here's my other point. Sorry, I remembered now.
Go ahead.
This will lead now to schools adding 3 support staffers to be in charge of replay review flag strategy.
Oh, yeah. That's
right. Oh, yeah. Three more analysts at Alabama and Georgia to analyze that stuff.
Field hockey program's going to get hit by this one.
Well, and
you're buttling everywhere.
In the the thing about reviewing every single play in the booth is that it's quite a burden, obviously, on the official up there, especially
game
in
day
this,
officials, yeah.
this game, this day and age of like, you know, the turbo speeds of offenses, like looking at every play and trying to decide on the spot. It just, yeah, it's kind of crazy. And I think it's getting more serious. You know, everything in college, obviously, sports has to be incremental before you get to the big change. There has to be little baby steps. They don't do any leaps in college athletics. And this is the same. This is the same. I think we're incrementally getting there. You know, a lot of these rule proposals that I wrote about, these four that are in consideration, were some of the similar ones under consideration last year and the year before that. And they didn't pass. And they just didn't have the support in this year. Again, incremental little steps every year. We're getting closer and closer, where this year it's pretty evident that at least two of these four will pass, the two non-controversial, and probably the third, the first downs, does have enough support, it seems like, to pass. And the fourth one sure sounds like we're going to have quite a debate in the room.
I'd pass them all. I'd pass them all. I don't know. I don't think it's that big of a deal. I just don't. I think it's a big deal at the end of the games. You want to make the game exciting, but you want to get to the exciting part. So, especially the way it's going. But then again, if they did nothing, I really wouldn't care that much either. But I can see their motivations. These proposals we heard this week from Coach William Christopher Sweeney, Clemson football.
Can always count on Dabo.
Yep. He was yelling at clouds. I call him now Young Boeheim. He's Young Boeheim. So he's got something to complain about. But there's always like a kernel of truth in there. That's the thing. You're like, Boeheim's kind of being annoying, but he's got a point. A little. He says, quote, "I get beat up for this all the time." Guilty. I don't really care. Good. Don't. That's good. You shouldn't care. We want to listen to the player on everything, like everything. And I'm all for expanding the playoff. Great. I got no problem with it. But I want to do it in a way that's healthy for the player. And what bothers me is the expansion of the playoff is when all of this was coming about a few years ago, we were kind of given a charge by our commissioner, go talk to our team and ask them, hey, this is what's coming down the pipe. Here's what it's going to look like. Wanted the feedback. I met with my team, and I'll never forget, and I kind of laid it out for them here. They all looked at me like I was crazy, like I had three eyeballs. They thought the season was too long, too hard, all that. It goes on and on. We listen to the players and all these things, but when it comes to, like, they don't want to start earlier in July, they don't want to go later in January. Oh, finals, who cares? It all falls on deaf ears. So I'm like, we can't keep expanding college football. And now where are we? You're going to have 17 games, so that's a lot for a college player. So again, it's Young Boeheim, right? He's not wrong.
Yep.
But
right.
But I don't for once believe I want to listen to the players. He just found the one thing they agree with him on.
Right.
Well, also it's his players that are make the playoff almost every year. Also, yeah, right. Should keep that in mind. Right? We should keep that in mind. Yep. Go ask the player from
Penn State that's gonna finally make it.
Texas A&M, yeah. Penn State, yeah. Wisconsin. I'm sure they're going to be singing a different tune, right? I mean, you're talking to a group of players who make the playoff pretty much every year, I know the last couple of years they haven't, but at some point they made like 5-6 straight or whatever. I mean, of course they're going to say, "Oh, we don't want any more teams to have to play." But those teams they would have to play, they're going to have a different perspective.
Yeah, yeah. The Golden State Warriors would probably cut a team out. Cut a round of the playoffs out without too much sweat.
Right.
Yeah.
But some of his points are good. The two things, a couple things that stick out that, we listen to the players on like everything when that's clearly, we shouldn't be listening to the damn players, except for, as you said, this time I agree with them. The point that he made that I have made a lot on the podcast and elsewhere is just the complete trampling of the notion of finals when that used to be like, we're not going to do that. And then all of a sudden COVID hit and it's like, oh, we need the TV inventory. Who cares about finals? We're going to play straight through December. And that's also going to be the case here. But I would like to hear Young Boeheim, William Christopher, players themselves say this. I don't want to hear him tell me what the players say. I want to hear the players themselves. Is this really what they think, or is this the coach speaking for them because he knows what he wants?
Coaches don't embellish at all, though.
Never.
Mm-mm. Sally and I were talking to our players. And Sally and I, they told Sally and I, well, they don't want any money.
So the
I talked Carolina. To two players. Yeah, right, so yeah. They just wanted Miss Sally to make them an apple pie. That was enough for me at the end of the year. No, sir, Coach Miss Sally. Yeah, I don't. When you went to the Olympics, we were going to Russia for the Olympics, and for some reason, the USOC or somebody set up this like State Department guy to talk to. Like, there was some kind of conference call, and the State Department guy's like, "Don't tip the Russian waiters and like servers because it's like an insult, and they won't understand because no one tips in Russia." And I was like, "What a bunch of government BS this is!" Like. I tipped everybody the hell out of everybody. Tip. There wasn't one confused person. They were so, these guys are thankful. Like, wait, this is for me? I'm like, you know, you just make a hand motion and they snatch that thing off the bar in 2 seconds and give you good service.
Yeah, we don't want your money.
Tipping. I'm like, where'd you guys come up with this? The average person doesn't want money. Like, I think the Russians are just like us. I think the guy wants to go home with more money at the end of his shift than less money. I don't know. Anyway, that sounds like a lot of this. We talk to the Russian bartenders and they don't want
tips. And they said, we don't want your money. Yeah,
sure.
Keep your money.
Sure. I'm sure you did talk to them.
I'll say this about, you know, Dabo's expansion. This is all of these proposals, right, are I was talking about how they've come up last year and the year before with all these committees and stuff, and they didn't make it really through the in-state governance process. And this year it seems like they are, at least a portion of them. And it is because of the playoff expansion. You know, these proposals are kind of emanating from what's called the College Football Officials Board of Managers, which is kind of connected to the CFP. You know, we know the CFP expanded to 12 teams, which adds 2 rounds, which adds 8 games. And ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips has been fairly outspoken about shortening player exposures, health and safety, since we're expanding the playoff. He'd want to somehow find a way to shorten exposures in a game, shorten games. And he is, of course, he is chairing this working group where from the Board of Managers that this that these proposals came from. So that's a big part of this, I think. I think another part of this, obviously, is what we've been talking about, right? It's just the bottom line of just shortening a game for fan experience in attendance and such. But there's certainly there is an item here of health and safety that is rooted in the expansion of the playoff. Now, it's funny because I brought this up to, I think it was a coach when I was working on this over the weekend, and I said all that about this is about health. They're saying this is about health and safety and shortening games because they're expanding the playoff. And I think the coach said, well, don't expand the playoff. You're adding right. 8 games, but you're going to shorten games by like 5 to 7 plays. Like, don't add the 8 games. It's easier not to add the 8 games, but here we are. So,
yeah. Well, you could get rid of conference championship games too. There's a lot of things we can
do. Yeah.
Sure. All right. Yeah. Well, maybe the lack of plays. Helps and the money that they can all make, which I'm sure was not addressed in the way the question was asked to the Clemson football. Would you guys want to play 5 more games? Like, no. How about if you make a ton of money and we shorten all the okay. I'm in favor of it now. So there's a lot going on there.
You know what? I should spell out a timeline, Dan, to this. Like So next week, I believe next Friday or Thursday, the NCAA Football Playing Rules Committee meets in Indianapolis. It's actually kind of it's an interesting meeting. A few of these NCAA committees are meeting in Indy while the Combine is there. And they're supposed to be meeting with NFL folks as well. I think college football is trying its best to get more in line with the NFL and have more communication since the expansion of the playoff will overlap with some NFL regular season in potentially playoff games. So they're all supposed to be meeting in Indy next week. And the Playing Rules Committee, like I said, either Thursday or Friday, I think, meets in decides what of the four proposals advances out of its committee and gets socialized. It still has another approval process, but whatever they advance out of the playing rules committee, I'd be real surprised if it doesn't eventually pass and become finalized and they want to implement it for this season.
Okay. All right. Coming quick. All right. A couple more stories here. Texas Athletic Director Chris Del Conte was asked about why the Longhorns don't have alternate uniforms. They kind of stuck with their traditional ones. Quote, "If God wanted multicolored sunsets, he'd have made them purple and green. Oh my God. But he didn't. They're burnt orange."
Hey,
excellent answer, Chris Del Conte. That's a fired up answer. God made it's like if Carolina fans say this, right? If God ain't a Carolina fan, why'd he make the sky Carolina blue?
That's
perfect answer. The problem is sunsets are often purple,
pink,
and there's literally in red. Austin, part of Austin was called the Violet Crown because of the way the sun went off the some of the hills nearby. So I don't know if Chris Del Conte has seen enough sunsets, but great answer. I don't care.
That is the perfect blustery Texas AD arrogant answer. Perfect. It's what you want the Texas AD to say. And again, it doesn't have to be accurate. It just has to be high and mighty. That's all.
I haven't heard the audio, but I'm just trying to visualize because Chris Del Conte has a kind of distinctive voice. He's kind of got that country, deep, kind of country, slow talking voice. And I just can't imagine him saying, or I can very much imagine this like oozing out of his mouth like molasses and the sunset and the purple and whatever, blah, blah. I just can, it's just perfect.
Absolute perfect answer. Yeah. All right. This one, Alert Reader sent us this, and I understand why. Headline from the Guardian, which is the more intelligent Daily Mail. Quote, "Incredibly intelligent, highly elusive, U.S. faces new threat from Canadian super pigs." Super pigs. The freaking Canadians... The Canadians are so bored up there. They haven't won a Stanley Cup in 30 years that they've been crossbreeding domestic pigs with wild boars. Who is this sicko?
Some mad genius in Alberta.
It's literally part of their Department of Agriculture. Yeah, some guy in Alberta's like, let's get a regular pig. And a boar, wild boar.
All right, I'm looking up this. Oh my,
super
God.
Pigs. Yeah.
Oh my.
So God. These things have proved to be highly intelligent, highly elusive, incredible. They can tunnel under snow to survive the cold. Okay. They can hide out and infiltrate different areas. They are accomplished predators. Quote: "They'll opportunistically come upon a hidden animal. The males have long tusks, so they're capable of running and grabbing one with their mouth. They kill young fawns." They go after nests. They impact turkeys, possibly quit. If you mess with our Thanksgiving, Canada, you're going to.
Now it's on. Now it's on.
The wild pigs are responsible for a laundry list of environmental damages, ranging from eating innocent farmers' crops to destroying trees and polluting water. They pose a, quote, human health and safety risk. This is Michael Morrow, Assistant Program Director for the Canadian Department of Agriculture. This is. How about this?
Not just some Hank.
Not just the Daily Mail here. This is the Guardian. Yeah. Okay. This is the Guardian.
Okay.
I'm the assistant program manager for the Department of Agriculture's National Feral Swine Damage Management Program. That's what a job.
Wow.
But what do you want to be when you grow up, kid? I hope to be the assistant program manager for the National Feral Swine Damage Management Program.
Hey.
Program twice.
He's getting paid regularly.
Pat, what the hell are we going to do? Can we get those helicopters? My cousin Richie was trying to get me on to shoot the pigs. Can we do that?
We once did a lengthy segment on Dan Wetzel's desire to fly in a helicopter and machine gun hogs. So
I did.
Yeah, this is your chance to, again, just take it north instead of down to Texas, and get your weaponry going. The key, obviously, look, tricks of the trade here, headline writers. You have to have a modifier before the animal to get people's attention. We didn't just have hornets; we had murder hornets.
Yeah, that's true.
We didn't just have rats; we had battle rats.
Yeah,
battle rats. Now we've got super pigs. In this case, they may actually be super pigs, but still, that's a good way to grab the podcast attention. And I think that we got to mount up, we got to suit up, and we got to take them out.
These things 100%. Are the ugliest animal I have ever seen. They look like they're like extra hairy. They have these nasty teeth coming out of their mouth. Some of them, it's just even the little piglets, the little super piglets. These things aren't. They're not even cute. I mean, this is just who had the bright idea to create these things?
How about how miserable this guy? The poor pig is sitting there, right? The domestic pig, not so bad. And then they're like, you're going to have to mate with this ugly ass. Come on, man. Like, this thing's ugly. Buy me a couple drinks first. I'm sleeping with that thing. Sure enough. Quote, they'll use their razor sharp tusks to cut down cattails, a native plant, and line the bottom of their snow caves as an insulating layer. They're smart enough to do that.
See?
So in the past, they said if a wild pig or a wild boar ever escaped a farm, they would just die in the Canadian winter. They'd just freeze to death. But these things have figured out how not to. And in fact, it's so warm inside their little caves that one way we used to find these pigs is to fly first thing in the morning when it's really cold, colder than negative 30, and you actually see steam pouring out of the top of the snow. It's 30 below, and they're in their little igloo. This is bad. This is bad.
Very bad. We need to take action.
Are they headed for the U.S. border, right?
We're shooting down these little balloons. Let's shoot. Let's pretend we're shooting down a balloon. Say there's one of these Weather Club balloons, right? You did a little reporting. A deep alien is useless to me right now.
Yeah, deep aliens. He's gone deep dark alien, on you.
Deep alien acknowledges that I'm calling deep alien out on the pod, but has not provided any information. So maybe our government could pretend we're shooting one of these little Weather Club balloons, but instead the missile misses, but then strategically wipes out like a colony of these wild pigs, these killer. What is it? What are they called?
Super pigs.
All right. Yep.
So no, that's a perfectly good idea. We've clearly got the itchy trigger finger to shoot down weather hobbyist balloons. So let's take out something that's an actual real threat. Go get them.
Much more worried about this. Or maybe these are the aliens. I don't. There's a lot going on.
Maybe.
All right. Do you take the over on the Arkansas Razorback win total this fall because of the super pigs existing?
I'll consider it. I'll absolutely consider it. Let's see how effective the super pigs are at infiltrating the border and heading south. If they get all the way down to Arkansas, then the hogs are winning the SEC West.
Sam Pittman leads an army of at the border to kill the super pig. Brother. I'm nervous. All right. We had more, but the clock ran on us.
Clock got us. We had too many media timeouts, Dan.
Too many. The review. We're a mess.
We did have a review. We had a 40 review. We did have a 40 review.
A lot happened. Right. The clock just keeps running. Yeah. It's got stop. You got less podcast out of it. All right. Well, but that's all right. We'll be back in a couple days. Thanks for waiting. We couldn't do Monday. We had things going on. But here we are. So we'll be back later this week. So subscribe, tell your friends about us. We got more. I have more potential rule changes for college football. Real or imagined, but I have some. Yeah, potentially. We'll see what happens. Who knows? Anything could happen. Stay away from the pigs and the Canadians. Get your crap together up there. Come on. We will talk to you later.